This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi. Now, Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, in the studio with me for his monthly show. Welcome, Dr. Harjit. How are you today?
Yeah, I feel great. It's a beautiful new office.
It's your first show.
Yeah, it's fun.
In our swanky office and studios, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, it's a huge change from the last one.
Yes, I should have worn a suit.
You know, we are going to have an interesting discussion today. The Asian Games just concluded, and we're going to be discussing or bringing to the four unsung heroes in their scrubs and their stories as to what really happens behind the scenes during the Asian Games, isn't it? What did you think? How did Malaysia do?
I think they did well. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, what shattered me was the hockey team not going to the Olympics. I mean, there was a meltdown there, and of course, there will be a lot of discussion about that. And everybody is going to have an opinion. But the main thing is every hockey fan is gutted. And I guess we just have to recover from that.
That close, isn't it, to the Olympics? 7 golds, 13 silver medals and 16 bronze medals. And in the studio joining us to share his experience as consultant, sports physician and team doctor for Malaysia at the Asian Games 2018 in Indonesia is Dr. Kamaljit Singh. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kamal. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good.
How did you think we fared? Were you happy, you know?
Overall, I think we fared pretty well, mm-hmm. and I'm quite happy with the entire performance.
Better than the last time?
Well, people tend to just look at not at obtaining the top 10 position, and you know, a lot of things are being said, but looking at the number of medals that were won, sometimes the difference between the gold, the silver and the bronze is just so little, and it may be silver today, gold tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think the important thing is you've seen a lot of new emerging athletes doing better. So overall, I think we did very well.
Okay. For those of us who, you know, are we skeptics when it comes to sports in this country today, you are right. We probably did well. But what would you say to all of us who think that, you know, they could have done so much better? You know, it's taxpayers' money. These guys are going, you know, to all the way to Indonesia and, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, we have a lot of skeptics amongst us. What would you say to us?
I think no matter how good they do, the skeptics will always remain skeptics mm-hmm. and say that there's always room for improvement. So, yes, the most important thing is there's constant improvement. There's constant betterment in performance all over the world. Other countries are also improving. So, yeah, I think we just did very, very well.
Mm-hmm. You think we did very, very well?
Yeah.
I think we can always do better.
We will always do better even if we double the amount of goals.
Yes. That is true.
There's always room for improvement.
Of course, you know, always. I mean, like the hockey team, Dr. Ajit, both of us watched it and, you know, they were doing so well.
No, I watched it until 4-1, then I got called to the hospital.
No, I watched it to the end, you know. What happened?
Yeah, but you see, before the tournament, if you would have said that they would have won the silver, looking at the likes of India, Pakistan and Korea, I think a lot of people would have said, oh, silver medal would have been good. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
silver medal is good.
Yeah.
I think what Meera is trying to put forth is that when you're so close and you're an elite athlete, maybe there has to be something within you that you don't melt down. That's it. I mean, we have seen even professional athletes melting down, Serena Williams and her famous meltdown. But mm-hmm. I think that what we need to do is that we need to improve these parts. Because when we are so close, because we don't have maybe the pedigree of taking it to the last step, we tend to falter.
And that's what you do, Dr. Kamal, you look after the physical health part of things. The mental health plays a huge role as well, wouldn't you agree?
Very, very big role, especially in games of this genre. So moving forward, like what Dr. Harjit was mentioning about the hockey team, if you look at it the other way around, the Sepak Takraw team was almost out against Indonesia, losing 17-11 in the second game, and we came and won. So it's that little bit sometimes on the day mm-hmm. between different sports. Well, we may say we are very disappointed with the hockey team, but look at our Sepak Takraw team. They did the exact opposite and won the goal.
Yeah. No, we are not disappointed.
We're not. We're upset.
We are so close. I mean,
you know,
every one of us were there, right?
Like every fan, we are upset. But the best part is, I'm sure the team and the players are also upset.
They
need to lift themselves up. That's going to take some time.
Yeah.
And officials as well. I mean, I think it was heartbreaking, actually. So close to the Olympics.
Okay,
but it's
obvious
okay.
All of us love hockey, yeah?
Yeah,
okay,
well, so. It's in our genes. Look at what race we are. Doesn't that say a lot? Okay, so as team physician, Dr. Kama, what do you actually do?
Well, we play a significant role in the sports medical aspects of the athletes pre-games, during the games, and post-games. It's an ongoing process, actually. So, after the games, we monitor them, sort out whatever injuries that have happened along the way, even during training. There will be small things that happen, and we look at that. We have to look into the psychological aspects of things, the nutritional aspects of things. So, it's not just injuries, but there's so many things that revolves around it as well.
Is that what determines how different you are from someone like Dr. Harjit, for an example?
Yes, definitely. Dr. Harjit is... yeah.
You always wanted to be team doctor, I'm sure, Dr. Harjit.
No, it's a full-time job. I mean, maybe Kamal might disagree, but I think if you're going to be a team sports doctor, it's a full-time job because you will need to gain the confidence of the player to confide in you when they are injured. They don't play, they are non-functional, they don't get paid. So they have to be comfortable enough with you to confide when they have a problem. If not, they tend to mask the problem. Now, that is a full-time job.
How long have you been team physician, Dr. Kamal?
Okay, for the Asian Games, I was not actually a team physician. We're just part of the entire medical contingent. When we travel like that, we cannot afford to be bound to one particular team or sport because then the numbers required would be huge.
Yep.
So we go in with the entire contingent. There are a number of us who are involved. So during the games, we'll alternate to go for different venues. And then we have a clinic that is also running to manage injuries off-field into the clinic.
Okay. If you have a question for Dr. Kamal Jait or Dr. Harjit, we're discussing, you know, Dr. Kamal being a doctor, a physician, sports physician for the Malaysian Asian Games 2018 in Indonesia. If you have a question for either one of them, give us a call. The number is 03-77-33-2900. That number again, 77-33-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So, when did you become part of this team?
Part of this Asian Games contingent? A few months before, actually.
Mm-hmm. And how does the selection process go? Do you put your name forward and they get back to you?
Yes, the National Sports Institute will request sports physicians to send in our CVs. And then from there, the entire selection process goes within the means of the National Sports Institute.
Yeah. No, okay. I think I have one thing to ask you. I think we get this out of the way. A lot of us tend to see patients, people like me, okay, when they have big injuries. But I don't think that that's the main problems that they come with to you. So during these games, okay, what did you actually see? What were the problems that they came up to you with?
Okay, injuries are injuries, but in events like this, we also have to look at illnesses where generally, of course, the strains, sprains, the small contusions that occur. But you also need to think about the illnesses that can happen. The weather was not great, there was haze, so you have them having upper respiratory tract infections, you have diarrhea, stomach pains. So, you know, those are mainly the bulk of the problem, actually, not big. Major catastrophic injuries.
Okay, and so there are other cardiologists who go along with you, general physicians that go along with you?
No, it's just the sports physicians that go along. But usually what happens is the host nation will have different specialities on standby. In the event we need a subspecialty intervention, they will always refer back to them.
Okay, so after you were selected, I mean, do you have to go through some kind of training? How do you, and if you were only selected a few months before, how do you build that relationship with tons of sportsmen and sportswomen? I mean, you are serving the entire contingent.
Yeah, actually, we have been working with, as sports medicine doctors, we've been working with ISN for years, even during our masters, and until today.
And ISN is?
The National Sports Institute, Institute Sukan Negara.
Okay.
So when they come for events like that, we are already quite well-versed with the athletes, with the coaches, with the entire medical fraternity. So it's just a matter of them picking whom they feel best for the job, and we go ahead. It's not a new face that suddenly pops up and the athletes can't confide in you.
Yeah, but you do treat, I think, teenage athletes and also adults, right? The whole range during these games.
Yes.
Do you feel that you have to approach them differently? I mean, you know, teenage athletes, they have a lot of other things going on.
Yes.
Sometimes they are not physically injured, I think. I mean, unfairly, I might say that, but they come to you. So how do you deal with these younger, immature athletes?
You have, sometimes they have these anxiety problems or, you know, they are worried.
Of course.
The psychological issues, small thing, they may think it's something big that will affect their performance. So then again, it comes to the entire picture that you get involved with. So they need to actually be very comfortable with you. And sometimes it's not just the athlete, the coach as well.
So I think you've just
opened up a can of worms.
Yeah.
How do you manage the coaches?
Look at both of us. Okay, Mira.
The coaches have their own ideas. You have your own ideas. How do you manage?
Actually, here so far, from what I've noticed in elite level, like the Asian Games, the coaches are great. They are quite open to what we do. They do not shoot us down. They take our advice very professionally. And if we tell them something, they just do it. It may not be like that in the school level or in the university level, but in the elite level, it's not so much of a problem, really.
So where do you get the problem then? If the coaches are not giving you problems when
What I mean by the coaches is sometimes the athlete might tell the coach, then the coach will come and tell you.
Right.
Okay.
Then when you speak to the athlete, they might be, you know, that worrying. So sometimes the coach is also important for you to fish the real problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you have a lot of expectations sitting on your shoulders, I mean, you have a whole country to answer to, you have the minister, you have the media. I mean, you just have to Google Asian Games 2018 and, you know, sensationalization is huge. We want to, you know, we report the not so nice stuff. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think this problem is even there in any hospital. Things are sensationalized and negativity seems to blow out much, much louder than positivity. Answering the minister, managing those expectations are usually way beyond me, where the chief medical officer gets involved. As for me, our role, we just get down and do our jobs with the best of our capabilities.
Yeah. And, you know, when we come back, we'll find out some of the interesting stories that you could share with us dealing with some of the athletes and what really happened at the Asian Games. I mean, some memorable moments for you. We have a question here from Robert Lim, who's also asking Dr. Kamal, what happened to the Silat exponent? I wasn't following Silat, so we'll come back and find out more up next. If you have a question for Dr. Kamal or Dr. Harjit Singh, the number to call us, 0377 332900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's our Health and Living segment in the studio with me for his monthly show, Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon. Joining him also, Dr. Kamaljit Singh, consultant sports physician and team doctor. No, really, one of the doctors, not team doctor, for Malaysia at the Asian Games 2018 in Indonesia. We're discussing some of Dr. Kamaljit's experiences as a sports physician, being a part of this this contingent that went to Indonesia. Just to, you know, jog your memory, it was the 14th. Malaysia came out 14th in terms of placing, with a medal tally of 7 gold, 13 silver medals and 16 bronze medals. Now, we had a question from Robert Lim asking about the Silat exponent. Could you just give us a little bit of a background? I don't think Dr. Harjit and I followed Silat. I'm not terribly sure of what really happened.
But you were there.
Yeah.
not literally caught sight.
In the front line. Okay. What happened?
Yeah, in the finals, when he was having a bout with his opponent, he felt that the umpiring was biased. And despite him hitting the opponent, his points were not going up. And towards the last round, when there were just, I think, a couple of seconds left, that he tried his best, But nothing was, the squad was just not moving. Hence, he just walked out. He just walked out and it gifted the opponent a victory. So that was basically pretty much what happened. And I think backstage, he got a little angry and with the whole turn of events. And there was some amount of damage done to some of the items there.
Right.
Yeah, that was what was reported.
So what do we usually do? I know you're on the medical side, but what will the, you know, Malaysian team, you know, what do we do as a result of such behaviour?
That, I think, will very much be back to the association and how are they going to deal with it. It is beyond medical, per se.
Yep.
So, yeah, I have no idea what's actually ongoing with that.
And your takeaway from that event, from that incident?
Well, we just got to keep ourselves calm and composed no matter what actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it happens to the greatest of athletes. We just recently saw Serena Williams undergoing the same thing. So,
yeah
I guess it can happen to anybody.
Okay. Question from Robert Lim again. Our athletes seldom place emphasis on diet. I don't know how Robert knows this. I'm sure there's a lot of emphasis on diet. Spicy diets before an event. You can get gas. Now, Robert seems to know a lot. Or instant noodles for most meals. Has that changed? I mean, Robert, how do you know that? Is that true?
Not really, actually. The modern age athlete, they are well versed with their dietary modifications, what they can take, what they can't take. And the National Sports Institute is very, very particular with such things. Even in games like that, most of the time a nutritionist goes along. So food is very much under control. They just don't go out eating everything.
I think I can add to that. You know, I mean, even in club level, maybe not, even in, you know, elite level, even in club level, you also now have athletes being very mindful with what they take, food-wise and also medicinal-wise. So I think that maybe previously the science was a bit lax, but now if you don't eat right, you will never be able to take it to the last 10% and perform very, very well.
Yeah, so I think that's important. We've advanced, really. Yeah. Robert, we've advanced. Back in the day, probably that was the case. So speaking of supplement endorsements, I mean, athletes with supplement endorsements that you might not agree professionally with, Dr. Kamal, what do you do?
Quite personally, I've not really encountered such a problem. But these athletes are very well aware of the things they can take and they can't take. So they seek advice from us. Sometimes when they want to take something or endorse some things, they speak to the doctor that they are closest with. And we, of course, give them our advice. And most of the time, they listen.
Question from Ruben Chow. What is or are the biggest pressures put on you during an event that puts you on full alert?
Right. The biggest pressures that I personally think is there is when you have a medal potential walking into your clinic with an injury or an illness, and you need to get he or she perfect for the next bout.
Wow. And how do you do that? Is that even possible?
It is, actually, and it's not something that we do. We are not magicians, of course. It's with years and years of training. We do it. So sometimes it's just quite casual, actually. Pressure, yes, but we kind of learn to deal with it.
Yeah, but I think that what probably he hasn't floated out is that in doing that, we know his medal potential and all, but never is the athlete put in a position of risk, because there are protocols that they use, and these protocols actually determine that, you know, this is safe to go and this is not safe.
Right.
And if it's okay to go, now how do we make sure that it doesn't get worse?
Right.
I think they follow that and it moves on. But it's great pressure, I guess. The assessment is important.
Yes, yes, definitely.
And when the athlete decides he or she doesn't want to participate, then what do you do?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Huh?
Well, again, this is something that I've not personally encountered. There are two main components here to any competition or game, especially at the elite level: the athlete being physically ready and mentally ready. Both has to be in sync in order for them to bring the best out of themselves. And at this level, the Asian Games, after qualification and so much of training, if they are not fit, they would have been declared unfit even at the ground level and wouldn't have flown.
Right.
So when once they are there, well, even they just want to participate. That whole attitude is different. Mm-hmm. Something that I've never experienced before.
Right.
At the elite level.
They've worked so hard to get to that level,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Medico-legal issues. Are you open to that when you treat them during games like these?
As in, sorry?
Medico-legal issues. If something goes wrong, you know, you treat them and they're not happy and something happens, then how do you manage that?
Well, yes, definitely there are such implications which can happen, but generally you don't really see this problem because as we treat even normally in a hospital, everything is explained and options are given to the athlete and ultimately they choose what is best for them based on our advice.
Okay.
What about, are you also involved in assessment of doping or do you have a different group of doctors involved in that during Asian Games?
Assessment for doping, they are different. They are doping officers.
So it's totally separate.
Yeah, but the medications that we take and go, they are all safe. We don't take anything generally that violates the doping conduct. In the event, for example, if you need to give a steroid for whatever condition, then you, of course, you declare it. There's a form that we need to fill up called a TUE form, therapeutic usage of exemption, to notify the doping control officers that I've given this medication for whatever reason.
Okay. And, you know, when you said sometimes they have injuries and, you know, they walk in with diarrhea or the flu or, you know, upper respiratory tract infections, you will come under intense scrutiny because you treat them. And once again, I come back to the point that there's so much expectations from these athletes. Does that ever concern you at all that you, in a way, carry this burden when they're not well or they're not doing well physically?
Yes, definitely. The pressure is always there, but it doesn't quite affect me personally so much because ultimately we try to do our best and it doesn't really affect me so much.
Yeah, I think because you guys function in a team also, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the difficult decisions is made in a team.
So share this burden.
Share the stress.
But somebody has to take responsibility sure.
There's always a chief medical officer that has to make the difficult decisions. But because we have a team, it's always done after tremendous discussions, which not only involves us, but also involves the coach, the manager, and the athlete.
Okay, interesting. If you have a question for Dr. Harjit Singh or Dr. Kamaljit Singh, we're discussing the Asian Games. Dr. Kamal was the consultant sports physician that went along with the Malaysian contingent at the Asian Games in 2018 in Indonesia, which just concluded. We bagged 7 gold medals, 13 silver and 16 bronze medals. We're sort of going behind the scenes to figure out what happens with these unsung heroes. You don't really hear them. You go, you know, you do your job and then you come back. What happens after this, Dr. Kamal?
He goes back to his job.
Yeah, he goes back to
you mean you have a day job?
Yes, yes, okay. Of course.
Yeah. I thought once you come with the team,
he also
you're
has
with
a family.
The team.
Yeah, we need to make a living too.
I'm sure they pay you as the sports physician that goes along with them for these games.
Naturally, they
please
do.
Tell me they pay you.
Of course, they do. They do, of course, and they take care of us very well, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not going to be sufficient for me to live till the next games.
I just thought that you would. This is a full-time job that you would have to be with these athletes till the next Asian Games. For an example, I mean, the job doesn't end there.
Yeah, that is why it's the team that is involved, right? That is essentially from the National Sports Institute. So, yes, they are always around and I'm not part of the ISN. So, yeah.
I'm just very curious because every athlete then will have their medical record, right? And how are you privy to this when you just go a couple of months or meet them a couple of months before when you're at the games with them? Don't tell me, do you have access to all their medical records?
Well, we are always warned on... There's always a screening that happens before the games. fitness testing, examinations, which happens at the National Sports Institute. And we are all alerted with what problems who has for us to be aware of for during the games. We don't have access to everyone. I mean, everyone that goes, yes. Those who don't go, no. And all the records are kept by ISN itself. So, yeah, we are quite well aware of the ongoings.
So, when talking about injuries, what has been the worst injury that you have seen on field so far? Whether in these Asian Games or something prior?
The most tricky one to manage is always a head injury.
Oh.
Yeah, it's always the most tricky one.
And which sport would that be?
Most of the time it happens in contact sports. So,
and
yeah, even a simple thing that people may think cerebral concussion is so simple, but it's actually very, very complex and a lot of things that can happen if things are not done properly. So there's a big talk and this constant debate on concussion which is going on. So it may sound something so little, but it's actually quite a big headache for the medical person.
Could you explain to us what a cerebral concussion is?
Cerebral concussion is like a sudden shock to the brain, to the chemical, biochemical environment of the brain. So physically, you don't have a bleed or you don't have a fracture, but the brain is in a shock mode.
Right.
Right. And right now, there is absolute no return to play on the same day.
So there's a chemical imbalance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is absolutely no return to play on the same day. And they need to undergo rehabilitation. Failing to recognize this problem and you send back the athlete on the field and they get something called a second impact head syndrome can be fatal.
What are the symptoms?
Headache, blurring of vision, neck pains, nausea, vomiting, giddiness.
Oh, I think that would be a tough one, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
because you know, you are going to basically decide that star player cannot go back and play.
Yeah,
and it is not, it is not something that's physically can be, can be diagnosed.
It is very much based on the symptoms, actually, and of course there are physical examination tests that we do, which is quite exhaustive, before we make a decision. But it's always a difficult decision when during a game at these levels and you said you can't go back in. Okay. So, yeah.
But do they get any other injuries like fractures? Or?
Yes, it does.
Often?
No, not really often.
Okay. Because they are conditioned well and...
Yes.
Okay, they're not your 40-year-old trying to play futsal.
I think probably they are there to compete, not to injure the other player.
You look at Sepak Takraw, every other point they are doing that flip and scoring, we jump like that 2-3 times.
No. You jump like that, you have a problem. Me and Mira, we are totally fine.
I really don't know about that.
Because we wouldn't even jump. Why do it? Looking for trouble.
We are discussing what happens behind the scenes medically for the Malaysian Asian Games, which just finished a month ago? Yeah. Less than a month ago in Indonesia. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, in for his monthly show, and Dr. Kamaljit Singh sharing his experience with the contingent after he went there and came back. When we come back, we'll find out some of his memorable moments with this Asian Games. Whether he'll go back as one of the medical experts in the next Asian Games or perhaps SEA Games, anything else really. Coming back and finding out. If you have a question for them, number to call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. If you have just joined us, welcome. I'm Meera Sevasudhi. In our Health and Living segment, Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, in for his monthly show. Joining us also, Dr. Kamaljit Singh, consultant sports physician and one of the doctors who went along with the Malaysian contingent to the Asian Games 2018, which was held in Indonesia. What were some of your memorable moments, Dr. Kamal?
The experience itself was just mind-blowing, actually.
Could you describe it to us?
It's a long event, 2.5-3 weeks when we were there. We stay together with the athletes. We become so much like family. We rely on one another. And I think those are that whole interpersonal, intrapersonal relationship that goes along the way is a wonderful experience.
Was there any R&R? I mean, seems like you were on the job 24/7.
Were you allowed to, you know, smell the roses?
See Jakarta.
We were definitely allowed to, but you don't have the time for that.
Because you're serving all sporting events and all athletes.
And you just always got to be sharp, right? So by the time you finish sometime late at night, you get tired, you go back. You want to get proper rest because tomorrow is a whole new challenge.
Yep.
And you don't know what is coming your way. So you just got to be ready all the time with adequate rest. Of course, I have got allergy issues, so the weather was not so great. So it's a battle even within, you know.
So you needed medical attention yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you're human,
yes,
right?
Of course.
You're only human. And Dr. Hajit's laughing.
Stop laughing.
You can get him after this.
What challenge is you can't submit an MC and not turn up for the day?
That is true. And in terms of your work that you did there, what were some of the injuries or cases that, you know, sticks with you?
As I said, most majority of the cases are the simple sprains, strains that come along the way.
That is such a difference from what you talked to me about, Dr. Arjun.
Yeah. No, because I tend to treat them when they are badly injured. Now, the sports physician, they handle the nutrition, you know, the pre-participation evaluation. So injuries is only one part of care. So they handle preventive aspect. When you see a sports injury orthopedist, then I think you already have something major that needs to be fixed most of the time surgically. So,
and it's all done before.
Yeah, so they tend to send that patient to me. I'm the human carpenter, fixing that problem and then making sure it's okay. Then the patient is rehabbed back again to fitness by the high-performance trainer, the physiotherapist, the psychologist, because it's also a broken mind. And then they take them back. And, you know, the joy for me is to see them performing back again.
Yeah, right. And if there is a critical case, what do you do then?
Like I said, there's always the host nation always has a medical center which is within the Games Village itself. So things are taken care pretty promptly in the event a major medical emergency requires attention. So there's no real problems with that, actually.
Okay. So so this is your first stint, right? Being a part of the Malaysian team?
Yes, at this level, yes. But of course, previously, I was also part of the SEA Games medical team. But in the SEA Games, it was a bit different because we were not really just with the Malaysian contingent. We were taking care of all countries. So because the contingent is usually looked after by the personnel from the National Sports Institute.
Okay.
Whereas during the SEA Games, since we were the host nation, Ministry of Health had the responsibility of ensuring good medical services to be provided for all athletes. So while ISN looked after the Malaysian contingent then, we were the referral center for not only the Malaysians, but everyone else.
Yeah, so they actually had, I think you told me about an orthopedic problem that was surgically fixed here for an athlete from outside.
I see. Because
so
we
it's
were
much,
the
much more, yeah, because we're the host nation.
Okay. I don't know whether to ask you this question by WhatsApp.
Are you married?
No.
Oh, not that. Oh, okay.
Who is medically obedient? Lee Chong Wei or Nicole David?
Wow.
I don't think you'd be able to answer that.
Well, actually, it's pretty simple. If you're going to look at the Asian Games, Lee Chong Wei didn't turn up for the Asian Games.
That is
so
true.
So the winner is Nicole David. For the Asian Games.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, there is absolutely no way anybody could reach the level that Lee Chong Wei, Nicole David, even Azizol reaches if they are not obedient to not just medical, but everything.
Everything.
Okay, so this question is specifically medical advice, obedience to medical advice. And who do you think, in your experience, the best athlete with the best character, really? Medical obedience.
Quite frankly, I mean, I all those that have dealt with, let's look at the big international
picture.
Elite, super elite athletes, they are all very, very obedient. We had people coming to our clinic, haze was an issue, and you know, we were advising them to use the mask, not to go roaming around, stay indoors, drink lots of water, and they all listened. I did not actually face a problem of anyone trying to be a hero, you know.
Well, you have to, isn't it? Or you're just going to lose out.
You will not reach that level otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. You know, do you ever get starstruck? Some of these athletes are famous.
Initially, yes.
Yeah. who were you? I mean, who got you starstruck?
I was always been all the way. My favorite sport was always badminton. So yes, in the initial days when I was a medical officer doing my master's, when I bumped into Rashid Sidhe, I just could not utter any words. But the warmth that these guys make you feel, it's just different. Yeah, even Lee Chong Wei, for that matter.
He takes lots of pictures with them.
Who? Dr. Kamal?
Hey, Dr. Kamal.
Starstruck lah.
Yeah, it was very bad. I think it happens.
He still does it. He's still starstruck. No,
but now it's not so much of starstruck.
No, it's just there lah.
No, because eventually then you become friends. Then sometimes you feel awkward that, you know, you're friends with him. And how am I going to ask him for a picture?
Right. Well, it shouldn't be a problem anymore after that. But were you an athlete yourself?
Yes, I played badminton at a state level until I was Form 3. Then the typical Indian family of study first, it's more important.
So you and as usual, like the traditional way, you became a doctor.
Yes, that's such an unfair excuse.
Nah, it's true.
See, hockey,
straight away blame
doctor.
It on parents, race, religion, stars.
Hey, what race are we, man? We do it all the time. you know, if you could, the highs and lows of being in a competitive event as a physician, would you do it again?
Definitely, anytime. This is what entices us. Sometimes the adrenaline, it's just something we love. So yes, of course, it's very, very tiring. And when you come back and people are like, oh, you went to Jakarta for 3 weeks, what did you see there? Nothing.
No time at all.
Yeah.
But it gives me an excuse to go back there for a holiday, though.
Yes, because, you know, the places that you didn't get to visit.
Yeah, so what do you think is your take home from all these coverages that you do?
To us.
I mean, what's the...
There's only one way to success, and that's discipline. And these athletes have got a level of discipline which is amazing. Sometimes I think even I'm not as disciplined as them. Not sometimes, I think I am not as disciplined as them. Yeah, so it's just something that I keep reminding myself that when you get your head down, focus, discipline, and do what's right, anything is achievable.
Okay, so while we're talking about going out and playing sport and all of that, we are going to be discussing something interesting at the BFM Health and Living Junior event. It's titled Growing Up in the Digital Age for Children. I think we're going to have a huge problem going forward with children not getting involved in sports because they're all glued to their tech devices. So we are giving away free tickets. If you send me a message right now to or WhatsApp me at 018-789-8899, we will be happy to give you 2 tickets each to this event. All you need to do is send me your full name and your email address. Once again, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Come on, we need people to be part of the Asian Games, the SEA Games. At the rate we're going, I'm not terribly sure how that's going to pan out with the future generation. But thank you both very much for joining me today. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, and Dr. Kamaljit Singh, consultant sports physician at the one of the members of the medical team members at the Asian Games 2018 in Indonesia on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.